I'm on? Good, thank you. Welcome to Wollongong's local planning panel. I'm the Chair, Sue Francis, and we all have our names in front. If everyone can see that, I don't need to formally introduce everyone. We have two items on the agenda. First of all, I'd like to remind everyone that the meeting is recorded, so please be mindful of what you say because it is recorded and will be put on the web after the meeting. I have people to speak on both items, and we'll do them in order. So that first item will be Young and Belmore Streets, and the second item will be 13 Pass Avenue. You'll have about 3 to 5 minutes, 5 minutes to speak. Keep it short. It doesn't need to be long. Just go to the key points. We may have questions afterwards of any question of any issues raised. I think that being the case, we'll move on. Please ask questions. Don't feel you can't ask questions. We're happy to help. First item is Young and Belmore Streets, and I have Angelo and Elaine and John. And who would like to speak?
Myself and Elaine can come up together.
Please feel free. Oh, yeah, that's true. We've all signed. Oh, by the way, I've just been reminded. I forgot to remind everyone to say out loud whether we have any conflicts of interest. Having signed the form, I'd forgotten that we need to actually say it.
No, I don't.
Who's that? Could you say your name as well?
Sorry. Glenn Folsom, no conflict.
Steve Femio, no conflict.
Sue Francis, no conflict.
And Robin Deeds, no conflict.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you, panel members. My name's Elaine Treglow, and I'm the planner who's been working on this project. I just want to perhaps take you back through the history of the application. I'm sure you're familiar that there was an application on this site approved in 2016. It was also for a mixed-use development at that stage, slightly higher than what we're now proposing. The site was purchased by Level Up Projects, a local builder-developer, about 12 months ago, I think it would be fair to say. And at that stage, she came to Angelo and I to look at modifying the previous approval, but obviously submitting a new development application. At that particular point in time, he sought some feedback in terms of the broader principles regarding the previous approval. And part of the brief was, number one, sitting within the bounds of the previously approved building envelope, and also doing some further geotech investigation to see what was feasible on the site. That geotech investigation, which was done, which I believe the panel probably has a copy of the geotech report and some supplementary information, indicated that the site has hard rock below, which the supplementary information indicates would add considerably to the time frame and the cost of basement parking. One of the broader principles that the design review panel considered with the previous application was that if there was above ground parking, it needed to be sleeved behind residential apartments or commercial premises. So the current proposal does do that. It sleeves the parking behind that residential apartments with two stories of residential accommodation, or shall we call them townhouses, for want of a better word, addressing both Young and Belmore Street. From there, when the initial concept design was prepared, we met with the design review panel on a voluntary basis before the application was submitted, and again post-lodgement of the application. Similarly, the applicant went to a pre-lodgement meeting to get council's feedback. We've obviously reviewed the council report at this stage, and while disappointed, we're not discouraged. Angelo has met with council officers. Spoke with council officers on the phone. And we believe that we have some a fairly readily workable option to address what we see as a couple of the key issues in council's report. One of those issues relates to the height of the podium. Now, just to place it in context, I understand that since we lodged the application, a concept design has been prepared for the adjacent site to the north that wasn't available at the time we prepared the application. Unlike their site, the previous approval was available. We've since overlaid that concept application, and Council has indicated that while it's not a formal DA, they do have concerns regarding the relationships of the podium. So Angelo does have a scheme which would address that issue and will address in tandem a number of the other issues raised in the Council report, including building separation distances, which I believe, I should say separation onto the ADG, which I believe Council has particularly focused on in relation to the podium level. We do also have some splays on the balconies, which we would love to keep, which work from the architectural design perspective, and the design review panel was very supportive of that. But if they need to go at the remainder of the levels in the building to provide closer to compliance with the separation distances, the applicant's also prepared to do that. So we also believe that the design amendments which are proposed would address the parking issues raised. And
sorry, amendments that you've discussed?
Yes.
Not amendments that you've submitted or anything?
No, just as discussed.
Yeah, okay.
So we are seeking tonight, if possible, we might get Angelo to run you through those amendments.
No, that's fine.
Well, just very briefly, just fill you in. And if possible, we're seeking deferment. That's what we're seeking tonight.
So that's your request.
That's our request tonight.
To defer it, to address the reasons for refusal?
Yes.
Through submission of amended plans?
Yes.
To Council?
Yes.
For then reconsideration?
Yes. And we believe those plans can be amended quite readily to address those issues.
Okay.
And it wouldn't take us long to do that.
I do understand, because I have asked the Council staff whether they'd be willing to accept amended plans, and they have said they would.
Great. Okay.
So you're very lucky.
Right. Good.
Okay. Well, perhaps, has anyone got any questions they want to ask specifically or issues you want addressed specifically?
Only that if we're having amended plans in due course, I suppose you've taken up on the bit in the report that says you haven't put in a clause 4.6 variation on floor space ratio. So there may be some dispute as to whether you agree with the Council's contention, the officer's contentions about the exceedance in floor space ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest you look at that. Either do the necessary submissions or argue and work out whether Council was not required.
Okay. The exceedance in floor space ratio was not raised in the latest additional information letter, but we note the way in which Council has calculated the car parking differs from ours. We believe that irrespective of the difference in opinion, we believe that issue will be addressed in what we're proposing to do with the car parking levels by removing a level off the podium and placing some parking underground. So we believe that's going to be addressed in terms of numbers anyway. Angela might provide some further feedback.
Well, I think the point being you have to address it.
Yep.
There might be a dispute
as to
that.
If we need clause 4.6, we'll provide it.
If there's any dispute, put in one without prejudice.
Yep, we will.
So you cover yourself anyway.
That's fine. We will.
Okay. But your request is for deferral. Okay, thank you very much. And I don't think we have anyone else, so we'll take that and we'll consider that.
You want Angelo to table anything at this stage?
No, because we're not going to consider anything at this point. It's we can't.
Could I put one other request to the panel, respectfully?
You can try.
as well, while I'm on a positive note. If the council officers were supportive and if the panel was supportive, would consideration, I'll leave this with you, this is just a question I'm putting, would consideration be given to delegating authority to the council officers? Thought I'd ask. It's worth asking.
No, that I won't do.
Okay.
And I'm not even going to ask.
All right. Thank you for considering it anyway.
It's too big. It's a full assessment of a whole application.
Sure.
So it's too big. No.
Okay. That's fine.
Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, so the next item is 13 Pass Avenue, and I have 4 people who want to make submissions, and I think I have the applicant. So the first person I have to speak is Chris Meikle.
Yes.
Please come forward. Doesn't matter, just speak as you would normally.
Hearing me out, I'm here to speak directly on behalf of the owners of a number
So you're number 9, which is two up. Well, not next door. Next door up. Yep.
Ah, check 2. Right. Do you need to repeat that, or you're
okay? No, that's fine.
Right. So we'd like to emphasise up front that this application does not comply with Wollongong Council's development control plan. I think that's acknowledged in the documentation that's been circulated to people that have made objections. And this is primarily in relation to height, offset, waste management, parking. Likely unrelated to the knowledge of the DCP, these above issues are also have also received the highest frequency of objections by residents. So clearly the residents are acutely aware of these issues also. I'd like to draw your attention to section 2.2.4 of the Wollongong LEP, particularly in relation to the R2 zoning classification, and clause 2.3 that states, the objectives of this zoning are to provide for the housing needs of the community with a low-density residential environment. This DA proposes a 400% increase in density. So by any other measure, this is a medium-density design. This is a planning by stealth. It is designed to circumvent the rules of the dual-lock code in the DCP. The LEP clause 2.3 also states, to enable... Well, basically offers to enable land uses that provide
I'm
facilities.
I'm trying to pull up the clauses. I'm not ignoring you.
Oh, that's quite all right. I can. They're all within the
yes,
document.
I know they are, but I like to read it off the actual.
That's quite all right.
Instrument.
To enable land use to provide facilities or services that meet the day-to-day needs of the residents. And I'm assuming it, when it says residents, it means in current tense the people that live in their community currently. So the question would be, is asking how council can substantiate meeting the needs of the community or providing for residents if so many of those residents are opposed to this plan. I also ask if council are servicing and providing for the community in accordance with the defined plans and policies, i.e. the DCP and your planning policies, at what point do the local voices of do the voices of local residents count, as in when are our voices heard, when can we actually influence decisions that council make, particularly in relation to plans that do not meet, applications that do not meet their plans or policies. So in the documentation, it's clear there are a number of concessions and or variations to the DCP that have made this, that have essentially supported this proposal. And these are justified by modelling and simulation. I refer to traffic management and waste management. These concessions and variations are not based on personal experience or real-world familiarity with the local environment on this street. The local residents have expressed objection in relation to density, parking, access and waste. These are because they are acutely aware of the local environment and the negative impacts, additional strain on these will have from this development. I'll now refer to some specifics. So a key recurring objection is amenity and safety, particularly on Gumtree Lane. This lane is currently not fit for purpose. It is in a significant state of disrepair, and council acknowledge in their documentation that the land is unstable, there's land slip prone, there's pavement failure, there's retaining wall failure, and it is too narrow for waste services. Furthermore, I'd like to emphasise it is also too narrow for emergency services. And recently, there was a power line that came down the street and the fire engine was not able to access it due to cars parked on the street. So I'll touch upon the cars later. So one of the questions to council would be, if we're proposing to add additional traffic to the site, additional access to the site, and we're saying it cannot be used for bins or emergency access, do council propose to upgrade Gumtree Lane? Have they budgeted for maintenance? Will council manage the illegal parking? The assumption in the plan and the proposal was there is no parking on this street. However, I encourage you to visit the street on any one day and you'll see there's probably in excess of 10 cars parked there from day-to-day basis. These are also residents on Bulleye Pass that have no front parking access from Bulleye Pass, so they're forced to park on the lane. And they're also residents from the new subdivisions to the east of Gumtree Lane that do not park in their allocated garages or driveways because they use those for storage because they're living in small properties. I note in the council's comments on the parking issue that this is a separate matter that is not addressed in the proposal. So to a certain extent, this has been deferred to someone else or somewhere else down the line. With regard to waste management, this has also been left unaddressed. Council clearly do not support the proposal, that's quoted, for the use of Gumtree Lane because there's no space for the bins at the intersection with Pass Avenue to the west. Again, Gumtree Lane being an issue, there's no access for bin trucks. This is also a condition of the consent. I'd like to point out that the alternative of using a 1 metre laneway to Pass Avenue has not been essentially reviewed, nor, if council refer to their gradients for moving bins, it will be feasible in relation to the actual gradient of the lot from the property at the back to the front. And I'd also like to ask where they propose to house up to 12 bins minimum on Pass Avenue in that location at the frontage. So, pardon me. So in summary, this proposal subdivision is not only pushing the limits of DCP, but it also leaves a number of serviceability issues unaddressed. Perhaps an amenable solution, not all being negative, is to adopt a 200% increase in density and subdivide the lot into two separate family dwellings similar to the adjacent property at number 11. This would be in keeping with the style and character of the street. It also not put too much strain on the amenity and serviceability of Gumtree Lane and the waste management system. So we trust that Council listen to the voice of the local residents and take note of the number of objections to this proposed development and reconsider the lack of merit that this proposal currently provides, and that approving this DA will not provide amenity for the community, it will instead erode it. A last comment would be, if Council were able to re-review their dual occupancy code in relation to this property and the circumvention of planning procedure in relation to the subdivision, that might be helpful in terms of making your decision.
I think we're aware.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? Anyone clarify? Nope. Thank you. Ian Farrell? Nope, sorry. Matthew Sherratt. Sorry. Got to be in order. I'll be in trouble.
Excuse me, I have to read off my phone because I couldn't print off my notes.
Thank you for the opportunity of addressing the panel. I'm a local homeowner and resident at 23 Pass Avenue and a father to a young family in Thirroul. I have serious concerns about the proposed development at 13 Pass Avenue, not only for the precedents that it sets for the local area, but also in the seeming acceptance by Wollongong Council to enable developers to submit and have a DA approved, which is in direct contradiction to the planning controls set out by the Council for our ward. It is clear from reading the assessment report that if the developer was to comply with the code, the development in its current form could not be done. The application seeks variation to setback rules, specifically section 4.1.2.4, requires a development occurs within 8 metres of the rear setback. Development is limited to single storey. The development proposed the first floor of Unit A, and Unit A2 is set back at 6.84 and 5.14 metres respectfully. This does not meet the code. Also, section 4.5.2.3 requires that at least 50% of the landscaped area must be located behind the building line to the primary road boundary. A variation is sought to vary the percentage of the landscape behind the building setback line to 21%, or 27% and 13% respectively. Again, this does not meet code. In both cases, the comment in the report justifying these amendments referenced the dwellings being pushed back due to the proposed drainage easement. For good reason, the code prevents building too close to the stormwater system on this side of Pass Avenue, but I fail to see how by complying with this consideration is a justification for not complying with the setback planning rules. I've looked at Pass Avenue and adjoining streets, Lachlan and High Street, and can find no examples where this has been allowed before. Also, the report cites no examples where this has been allowed. I respectfully suggest that this is because previous developments have met the setback requirements. And why is this development different? Contrary to the report, the indication that this development will be out of character, this is contrary to the report, which indicates that this development will be in character with the local area. I respectfully say this would be out of character, considering no such development of this similar nature has been done before. I believe if the council allows a variation on these grounds, then this sets a dangerous precedent for Pass Avenue and the local area. The report states that the proposal is satisfactory as it provides housing needs of the community within a low-density residential environment. Low-density residential zones are defined as a zone for land comprised mainly of low-density housing where the planning objective is to protect the locality of single dwelling character and landscape settings. The zone allows for a variety of house types, facilities and services to meet the needs of the community and the residents. However, other housing types are required to be at scale and density that is comparable with the single dwelling character of the locality. I fail to see how this development can be considered low-density housing, and I find the justification given in the report as a brush-off to the zoning rules. The report also shrugs off the concerns of the local community that Gumtree Lane is too narrow, windy and dangerous for further access. Council acknowledges that waste services should not occur on Gumtree Lane, instead it be done on Pass Avenue. This indicates that they recognise the limitations of Gumtree, yet have dismissed the concerns of local residents who will have to live with the problems created. I also highlight Chapter E14, Stormwater Management. Stormwater from the development is proposed to be collected in rainwater tanks and discharged to the curb via the OSD system. Council Development Engineer Officer assessed the application as is satisfied. Council should be aware of the frequent occurrences of flooding on Parnes Avenue. I refer to recent case number 580534, which highlighted several incidents recently of flooding that caused damage to gardens due to inadequate stormwater drainage on the road. The proposed stormwater management plan is most likely to exacerbate this problem. Finally, I quote Wollongong Council Development Council Plan 2009, the DCP, which sets out specific controls and parameters that apply to development proposals. With consolidation and an up-to-date DCP, Council and the community can be confident that the future development in the city will reflect community's aspirations and the response to local site conditions or constraints. Surely the confidence is lost with the approval of this development. I thank you for giving me the time to speak today.
Thank you very much. Has anyone got any questions? No, thank you very much. Now it's Ian Farrell's time.
Good evening, panel.
Thank you.
And everyone else. Well, I agree entirely with what the last two speakers have said, and whilst I'm not here to reiterate any of that, but I do support everything they said, and I think I've covered some of those issues in my own way in previous submissions to council. In fact, you know, I think the Gumtree Lane is a disgrace at the moment. There was an attempt by council to do something with the edges. They scored lines down it about 3.5 years ago, said they'd be back, but no one's ever reappeared. Now, we live next door to the proposed development, and I just have a wonderful feeling that trucks going up in there down this lane are going to rip it apart, because if they're going to be delivering materials or anything else, it's going to make a mess. It's going to block the lane for traffic to get in and out. And when you get the tradies on site, where are they going to park? They don't like walking a long way. So anyhow, all those issues are the same. Garbage bins. I wrote to council about that problem some time ago, and it was rubbished because of the RMS and the fact that council haven't got any little garbage trucks. But in fact, I believe they have. Anyhow, what I'd like to talk about is that I agree that this proposal is too big, it's too bulky, too ugly to place in this area. We've been here for 7 years just on. We love the area. We love the environment. I love all the people around the area. It's a great place to get away. Say we came down from Sutherland Shire. We come down here and it's whilst it's being developed, as they might say, with brickworks and the like, they got roads about as wide as our lane, which are supposed to be suburban streets. Now, I think we're going backwards that way. But what we would like to say is that we will have restrictive views from our living room through the ocean and partially there will get a lot of shading on our side of the house. If we'll put that into a lot of dark level for a fair bit of the time, especially downstairs area, our main bedroom and our bathroom are going to be blocked out by, especially in the morning. So we would like to say that we have read the reports from council saying that the window, our living room window, is at eye level, which are whatever that means. I don't know if they measured a gnome or a 6'5" person. So I don't know what level they're talking about. So what we would like to say, we thought, what about a proposal if we could ask the panel to say to the discuss or the developer whether that's the right way to go about it, is to say, how about reducing your floor height from 9 foot to 8 foot in old terms, on the lower ground floor only. That will provide a bit of tolerance there and make us a bit happier. And also there is a large skylight that we would ask that perhaps a consideration could be given to scaling that down somewhat to improve aspects for us. So we've got to live there. So I think even if it's outside the scope of what the panel can consider, that's fair enough. We just want to put it out there. We think we've got valid considerations. The other thing is there's some encroachment, which I know hasn't been mentioned by the council's officer's report, that it is a civil matter between us and the builder, the developer, but the whole thing remains. There will be a lot of demolition of concrete and the like very close to our property, and we want to guarantee that there's the integrity of the structure. Our structure will be protected. There's going to be a lot of concrete. There's a hell of a lot of concrete on this property at the moment. It goes back many years. There's going to be a lot of work done there. God knows what's underneath it. Who knows what fill. It's just them. It's going to go on and on and on. There's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be a lot of disruption to us, to neighbours in front, to neighbours each side, all around the area. And I think it is out of character. When you look around, I do not agree with what the developers say, that there's a lot of similar types of these sort of construction around the area. I know there's a lot of townhouses, usually well back, but there's nothing like this in this area. And if you look up and down the streets, well, maybe there's some 1980-style houses that are two-storey, but they're not. That's comparing apples and oranges. But most of the houses are single-storey, fairly old, some of them, but I think most people like to be that way. So all in all, that's the main things I wanted to say. That's about it. I just suppose there's other issues we'd have to discuss with the developer if and when this gets approved and without concessions or whatever. But so I just leave it. Thanks for allowing me the time. But as next door neighbours, I think some considerations should be given. They have made a few concessions, but I think we need more consideration given to it. And as coming in here, sometimes I feel as putting the cart before the horse, because we don't know what's going to be approved. We don't know if you get fobbed off once it passes council and council's out of the picture. Where do we go to? Who do we see? Private certifier? I wouldn't rather go to an SP bookie, you know, trust him. But that's what I think. You know, I don't know, where do we go? You know, I've said to the council people, where do we go? We're just ordinary people. Where do we go? How do we understand this error? You know, I've read maps before, plans, but these are only basic. I've been told they're not. There's no real measurements that you can understand on them that layman can. So we're behind the eight ball here, and I just thought I'd mention that as a final words. But otherwise, I support entirely what the other two guys have said, and I know from speaking to other neighbours in the immediate vicinity that they're pretty much appalled about the whole thing too, but they have not chosen to make representations in writing. So thank you very much, panel.
Thank you. I think someone might have a... I think someone's got a question.
Mr. Farrell.
Are you located at 16?
We are, yes. Okay. Yes.
Thanks.
Is that all? Oh, OK. That was easy.
That was an easy question. OK, Lynn Farrell.
I have to say that I agree with the previous speakers on all the issues, but my main concern, or what I'm going to talk about just briefly, is the impact that it actually has on our house.
Sorry, can you identify where you are?
16.
I think he lives with them.
Yeah, we're next door to... We are. Legally.
Just a guess.
Legally. So this development on the eastern side... blocks the whole eastern side of our house. Downstairs is our bedrooms. the development will completely block all windows on the bottom level. We'll have no light downstairs at all. Now, upstairs, we've got about six windows. They will all be blocked. There is one window in the living room that you will call a picture window. That would seem that we will get some views, although we're a little bit confused even looking at the plans. Council said that the height of the house next door will be predominantly below the window level, and therefore your view would be largely retained. I don't know what largely retained means. But on the plan, it said the development will come up to eye level when you're looking at this one window that we will have a view out of all the windows in our house. So what I would like, and Ian touched on it also, was at least some guarantee that we'd be able to work out some way that out of that one window that we can actually get some view out of all the windows in our house. So Ian touched on this also, but we feel it might be reasonable because the ground level in the development has very high ceilings. To reduce those high ceilings to 2.4 from 2.6, is it? Hang on a sec. 2.8 to 2.4, which is in building guidelines because that's exactly what our ceiling level is downstairs. But, of course, remaining the higher level upstairs for aesthetic feel to the house. So we thought that would be one way that would be reasonable and that would be no cost to the developers, I would imagine. I'm not a builder. And the other issue is the skyline. It's one of those ones that pop out at the ceiling and or it slants up, actually. So the slant of that skyline ends right at the edge of the window that I'm talking about, the only window we have left. So it goes up and finishes right at the edge. So the other request would be if the skylight could be maybe reduced in height, maybe you can get a bit of view on the right-hand side over the top, or if the skylight could be actually taken out and if there could be like dome skylights or something, do you know what I mean? Like to get rid of this bit on the top and maybe put in dome skylights or something that is not quite as high because it impinges right on that one window that we have left. So, but that's about our house, but
Can I just ask a question about that window? I'm assuming you're talking about the pop-up, which is a clerestory, for want of a better word.
What's it called?
A clerestory.
Oh, I call it a skylight.
This is with the windows at the side.
No, it...
Yeah, but the windows, there's got windows on the side elevation.
Yeah, and the front, hasn't it?
Well, it probably happens at the front too. Probably, but at the
pops
side.
At the roof.
But they're not at eye level, are they?
If you look at our window, they're on the same level as our windows.
You might see their windows, but no one can see out of
those. Oh, I'm not worrying about looking in the windows. They're only to let light in.
Yes,
they're
that's
up
right.
High.
That's correct, yes. That's what I wanted to check you were aware of. Yep.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Concerned about the view. Right.
Yeah, because it pops out of the ceiling and it okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I'm just talking about that one window.
When you say pop out, I think of it like physically coming up like that.
So you're concerned about the view down?
You can see on the plans how that, whatever it's called, comes up and then slopes down.
Yeah. Okay.
And it ends directly at the beginning of that window that we're talking about. So if you're looking out the window and you look to the right, you see this thing popping out.
No, I know what you mean. I was just checking you weren't concerned about privacy. You're concerned about views.
No, the privacy is gone. There's no worrying about that.
No, that's okay.
So that just has two options.
Yep.
If the bottom level could be taken down to a standard
ceiling height, and that's from 2.8 to 2.4. Or alternatively, or even, and so, if they could have a look at that, whatever it's called, and see if that can be lowered or maybe some pop-up things.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions?
No. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I have the applicant, and I've got four representatives, I presume, of the applicant. Mark Filer being the applicant, Clinton Garforth the applicant, Kate Lynch and Steve Hughes. Who would like to speak? And if you all want to, please feel free to bring chairs.
Steve Hughes and Kate Lynch.
Fantastic. And you've heard the concerns raised. I'd like you to try and address us in relation to those concerns raised. Thank you.
Sure. My name's Steve Hughes, and this is Kate Lynch, both from Develop My Land, and we've prepared the documentation that is the prime focus of the discussion here today. Looking at the issues raised, Mr. Michael raised issues regarding the non-compliance or the perceived non-compliance of the application. I'd like to emphasise that the application is fully compliant with the LEP, and there are three minor variations of the DCP. One is, as has been stated, the two-storey element within 8 metres of the rear setback. I would like to just note that the separation between that upper storey and the proposed rear, the rear of the building to the south, is still in the realm of 18 metres. So in terms of addressing the intention of the DCP, when one takes into account that there are high-level windows only on that rear elevation, that we address the intention of the DCP. The second one was that we have less than 50% of landscape area to the rear of the front building line, which we've been pushed into the situation where council have requested a 3-metre-wide easement for a drainage line that runs through the property. As a result, we've had to move the proposed dwellings further to the south. Sorry, that's popping a bit. I would suggest that there is actually an environmental benefit to that because we have a significant amount of planting now in the streetscape, which provides articulation to that front facade of the building from a landscape perspective. The final variation requested is a 3-metre driveway width to Gumtree Lane. The design solution has come up with two parking spots per dwelling, and the arrangement of the variation has facilitated the opportunity to have two additional spaces from a practical perspective per dwelling. So any visitors are reasonably well accommodated in terms of off-street parking to either of those dwellings. Housing needs of the community was addressed, and I think this is a key component of this proposal. By far the greatest request that we get from potential and existing residents within the area are dwellings that people can downsize to. This is backed up by the Australian Bureau of Statistics data, which suggests that Thirroul is massively underprovided in terms of smaller, more compact dwellings that are suitable for an aging population to move into, the kind of dwellings that the proposed dwellings are ideally suited towards. Mr. Michael also mentioned waste. Council are proposing that a condition is that the waste is serviced from Pass Avenue. The developers are happy to accept that suggestion by council, and there's a workable solution there that can be adopted as part of the proposal. A traffic report traffic was mentioned as an issue. A traffic report has been prepared by a traffic consultant and found there would be no significant impact as a result of the development. Congestion's been raised by various people, but I would suggest that the location of the site is actually ideal for access to Bull Eye Pass and straight onto the Princes Highway, and actually avoids the congestion that's prevalent in the centre of Thirroul. Mr. Sharratt's concerns were it sets an undesirable precedent and out of character with the area. We've worked very hard to ensure that these buildings are extremely compact, and actually the built form of each dual occupancy is typical of the size of new dwellings that have gone up in the area. So in terms of form and mass, I would say there's very much a sense of compatibility with the local area. Again, housing needs of the community was raised as an issue, and I've already addressed this matter. Stormwater was raised as a concern. A flood study has been prepared, and the design proposal respects and reflects the recommendations within that flood study. Mr. Farrell raised the issue of views. We have modified the design to accommodate the views out of the side of that dwelling. I think it should be noted that that dwelling is actually orientated towards the north, so the majority of living areas have a view north. But that one window that has a view from the eastern side of the house, we've modified the arrangement of the dwelling so that views are afforded when standing, and the documentation reflects that. Commentary on Gumtree Lane and the suitability of Gumtree Lane and construction impact. Obviously, during the construction period, the developer will comply with all EPA work cover requirements and his professional and indemnity responsibilities. The possibility of addressing a floor height, if you consult the drawings, it can be seen that the floor height or the floor to floor is 2.8. So there's actually nowhere to go with that proposed suggestion. It's also driven to a degree at the level that you come from Gumtree Lane.
Sorry, so the floor, if you reduce it to 2.4, for example,
mm-hmm.
the floor to the bottom of the ceiling
mm-hmm.
would be less than 2.4.
If to reduce...
If you made the 2.8 dimension 2.4...
At the moment, it's 2.5 clear.
So, yeah, you're going to get a ceiling height of less than 2.4. Well, you'd have a floor thickness of 300 to 400 millimetres.
Why did you set the building back 5.5 metres from Gumtree Lane?
You're required to provide off-street parking in front of the garage doors.
But that's not what's happened on the adjoining block at number 16.
We sought a variation at first and it was refused by council, so the design was modified.
And the only reason I ask that question is because it pushes the building further into the block.
Yep.
Mm. All right, I'll ask council that question.
Yeah. And really, I would suggest that there needs to be some tolerance in terms of the detailed design of the construction.
In relation to, I'm somewhat concerned that the built form have been pushed from Gumtree Lane further into the block because of the setback required, and it might be because you've got garages as opposed to carports, but I'll come back to that, from Gumtree Lane. And, of course, off Pass Avenue, you've had to set back the building, you know,
because of the easement, 12 metres, which has sorely squeezed the amount of site that you have for development. And so your effective site area is significantly smaller than the number would indicate.
Well, it depends how you choose to look at it, I guess. Because
I choose to look at it in the context of a built form pushed further back, where it could be pulled further forward and have a bit greater space in the middle. The landscape area between the two lots, A and B, are very, very narrow and 50% in shade midwinter by self-shadowing.
The site's pretty steep, so
I know.
This is pretty. This is still single story.
I know.
In relation to the back lot.
I know. Still 50% shadows, and because it's pushed back, and it's limited the amount of open space. So we know, I know why you've done it, because you've got the easement there. But there's no capacity to deal with that culvert another way.
Council doesn't always exercise the need for easement over drainage culverts. You know, that there's no other easements along that culvert. This will be the only site that has an easement.
Because a lightweight structure over the culvert, for example, a carport.
We proposed that initially, and we were told that we could not build over that area.
Okay, I'll ask that question too. Any other questions?
I should add that this is actually the second application for the property, so those the previous plans are in the system.
Okay, thank you.
the term clear story window, I assume that's just a LED light, sort of light source for the lower levels.
And also for the wet area. There's wet areas that are getting natural light from that as well.
Right. So that we know no one can see out.
No, they're quite high. I think the pitching point's around 3 metres for that roof.
Any other questions, anyone? Questions? No?
Sorry.
Yes, I'm, I'm looking
at... You did mention that you accepted the recommendation that you have even the valley side of the mill garbage recycling box down there.
Yep.
You don't see that at all as problematic?
Oh, I think it's unusual, but it's workable.
Any questions? Any further? No? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. No, you are not. You can say it to us. I understand. Thank you very much. And that's the last item, so I will close the meeting at 5:50. Thank you very much. Meeting's closed.